I want you to look again tonight, Philippians chapter 4, where I've been thinking a lot the past several days about a very familiar and unfortunately oftentimes misunderstood text. First of all, verse 12 says this, look at it, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Now, the reason why I've been thinking about this text, a great text really, for days now, is that I've been waiting for my tube of toothpaste at home to be like this. All of you guys in the way back in the back there, back row, you can't see my awesome illustration, but try. This is, of course, just a common, everyday, empty tube of toothpaste, such as we're all here very familiar with. And, you know, everybody, I suppose, has their own system of, you know, getting all the toothpaste, squeezing it out of the tube. Some do it with more zeal than others. Sometimes I take the toothbrush and I'll roll it in there like that. Sometimes I'll scrape it on the side, so on and so forth, just to get that last important supply. This one, for example, is almost, and I mean almost, empty. When I was in grade school, living in Turkey, my mom and dad, for a while there, had all of us use a box of baking soda for toothpaste, and literally there was an open box, you know, next to the faucet and the sink, and you would put your toothbrush under the faucet, get it wet, dip it in the box, which means the other kids dipped it before you and after you, and you would brush away. And I always thought it was nasty. Some crazy military survival scam my dad forced on his kids. Several years ago, I noticed at Publix a new toothpaste. Sure enough, it was Arm & Hammer baking soda toothpaste. And I thought, now that's a scam, if there ever was a scam. And so I didn't buy any, obviously. Which leads us back to our text. Because, in particular, two words you'll notice represented by this empty tube, and then, sure enough, you know, BOGO at Publix, this is a full tube for you back row Baptists back there who can't see my awesome illustration. And I want you to look at the verse, all right? Verse 12 again. It says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full, that's the first word I want you to notice, and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. That's the second word, full, you might want to circle it, and the word need. And beloved, what Paul is talking about here is one of the most critical, important issues, obviously, in all of the Christian life. He's waited to deliver this at the very end of this powerful letter to the Philippians. You know, it's interesting because people always quote, some of you in this room, I know some young people, this is your life verse. And it's great. It's an awesome verse. But people always quote and refer to the verse after this, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But they do so ignoring the truth that verse 13 is referring back to verse 12 specifically. It refers back to being full or suffering need in that verse. And you'll notice that Paul says in verse 12, everywhere and in all things. Now that's comprehensive, right? That is the whole of the Christian life. So that in everything and everywhere, he says, he has experienced fullness, good health, popularity, food, plenty, praise. Everywhere in all things, that has happened. He has also experienced need, indignity, sickness, hunger, poverty, everywhere and in all things. The world sometimes calls this a reversal of fortune. This is adversity. This is prosperity. And beloved, typically, both of them are part and parcel of every Christian's life. Which brings me tonight to a few quick thoughts I'd like to illustrate with these that are included in Paul's final words again to these Philippians and which thankfully the Holy Spirit has given to us. The first truth you'll consider is that, number one, sometimes the Christian life is like this. Now, follow me carefully. Sometimes, this is what Paul is saying, the Christian life is like this. You feel and you look like you're empty. In other words, sometimes being the very best Christian you have ever been and being right in the center of God's will includes being empty or being in need. And so you know what Paul testifies? Paul testifies that as such, every godly believer in this room can do the same thing as well, reminding us that the prosperity gospel is not the gospel. It's a fallacy. It is a fraud. It's a lie concocted by very greedy men. And the tragedy of it is it robs God's people of the glory of verse 13, I can do all things through Christ. In other words, that verse and what it really means is I can suffer need because Christ strengtheneth me. I can be blessed and abound. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can suffer, I can be abased, I can be hungry, I can still be victorious and live to the glory of God. Again, beloved, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's not talking about you can score lots of touchdowns. That's why football players quote the verse. I can do all things. I can lift so many pounds. I can knock people out in the ring. That was Evander Holyfield. Had it, remember, a tattoo. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that's what he referred to. But that's not what Paul's referring to. Paul says, I can do all of these things. Suffer or be blessed. Again, number one, sometimes the Christian life is like this. Number two, you'll notice sometimes the Christian life is more like this. Which is to say that sometimes everywhere and in all things it is God's will for all of the presses to be full. And you've experienced that with Paul as well. I remember some years ago one of our men coming to me in the old church and he said, Pastor, I'm scared. I said, what are you scared about? He said, well, everything is going so well. My marriage is ideal. My kids are great. Our health is good. I'm making really good money. And I'm just afraid about it, that things are too good. And I brought him to this verse. You know, in some ways, he hadn't yet learned how to abound. He said, well, Pastor, how do you learn that? How do you learn, in this country especially, how do you learn to be so blessed? Well, that leads us to the third truth in the text, which is number three, whenever the Christian life is like this, all right, look up here, there's always more supply than we think there is. You see, Pastor, always, well, look at verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to, not the bank, not your bank account, to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This tube, for example, frankly, I thought it was finished about 3 weeks ago. So I pulled out this one and sat it next to it. And sure enough, what I thought was done just keeps on giving. I've been putting this message off. I mentioned it to Crystal the other day. I've been putting it off. I have an almost empty jar of peanut butter. I thought I could use that and a full jar like I did with the Grand Prix once. But thankfully, it finally emptied, but it took a while. It just keeps giving and giving. Now, granted, I squeezed it like Remo squeezes a nickel, but it still supplied. Now, does it hold right now? Is it heavy? Is it supplying a whole ton? No, but it supplies enough and it meets the need. What's verse 19 again? But my God shall supply all your need. Do you know tonight that God meets our needs, not our greeds? And beloved, you know this is true. That even when things are at their absolute worst, even when the need seems the greatest and you can't see past tomorrow in meeting that need, God always provides. Verse 16, Paul says, for even in Thessalonica, even there, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Notice God provided his necessities, not his excessities. Which brings us to the fourth thing in the text, which is this, whenever, number four, whenever the Christian life is like this, it is a reminder that it was once like this. Right? The very fact that you have this is a reminder to you that by definition, it was previously like that, if not oftentimes. You see, folks, that very need testifies that it used to be. This testifies that it used to be this. You know, it reminds us to be grateful for what has always been, and that is God's past provisions. You know, you think about God's recurring rebuke of the Israelites. What was it? What did they constantly do? They forgot. They forgot his goodness. They forgot his faithfulness in the past. They forgot his promises. The very first sign, the very first experience the Israelites had with this, the very first time they thought it came into their life, they completely forgot this. And that is always, always dangerous. And because what you do when you forget this, that you ever had that, you just constantly focus on this, and it's boo-hoo-hoo. Woe is me. Nothing is ever good. I remember the story of two friends. They met in the street one day, and one of them was all forlorn and sad. He was at the point of tears. And so his friend said, "Why so sad?" He said, "Well, let me tell you what happened." He said, "3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $40,000. He said, "Whoa, that's a lot of money. Why are you so sad?" And he says, "I'll tell you why. 2 weeks ago, my cousin died. He left me $75,000. He said, "What? That's a blessing for him to think of you?" "No, you don't understand." He said, "Last week, my aunt died, and she left me $200,000. He said, "What? I'm confused. Why are you so sad?" He said, "Because this week, nothing." And I got to tell you, we're like that. What have you done for me lately? In the flesh, did you ever consider how unfair it is towards God to act toward him based upon the past 20 hours and not the past 20 years? Do you ever think about how unfair that is, how unfaithful that is? Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Now, we always think of that as in the present. Well, let me count all the benefits I have right now. My bills are paid, my health is good. But that verse means, forget not all his benefits. All of them last year. All of them 10 years ago. All the benefits that he gave you 30 years ago. Because you know he has been faithful. Never forget the years and the years of this. Just because at the moment you're in the midst of this, or what appears to be this. Which brings us then to a fifth lesson of the text. Number 5, whenever the Christian life is like this, it always teaches you what this, only this can teach you. This cannot teach you what this can teach you, and vice versa. There is a certain wisdom when you're in need. There is a certain grace and extra patience and extra character that you get, that you learn, Paul uses the word, with this. Look at verse 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am," Florida, Wisconsin, "therewith to be content." Do you know that contentment? Now, I don't have to tell anybody in this room who has a toddler this, but contentment has to be learned. And let me show you something. Because I don't know if you really, really noticed Paul's testimony in verse 18, if you really noticed it. So let's read it. He says, "I have all," verse 18, "and abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Wait a minute. Paul says that right now, while he's writing this letter, he says, "I'm feeling kind of this. I'm full. My presses are running over." I feel blessed at the time he's writing this epistle because he's in the full and abound state. The only thing is, I'll remind you, he's writing these words not from some villa overlooking the slopes of Spain, eating grapes. He's writing these words from a Roman prison cell. He has scars on his back. He's had unjust beatings. In cold, in the darkness of this cruel death cell, Paul's chains are clanking as he's writing the words, "I am full and abounding today." He had learned, you see. He had learned in whatsoever state he was to be content, which brings us to a sixth truth in the text. Number six, whenever the Christian life is like this, whenever you're in this place in your Christian life, and most of us are, be sure to minister and encourage those people around you whose lives are like this. God doesn't make you like this just for you. Make sure you remember the people all around you that are just like this. Look at verse 18 again. "I have all and abound, and I'm in full, having received of Epaphroditus." Now, you know what, beloved? I don't know exactly what the church at Philippi sent to Paul by way of Epaphroditus. The only thing he ever asked for when he was in jail that I know of was a cloak, some books, and parchments. So we don't know. Maybe he brought a brand new tube of toothpaste and Paul didn't have to use stupid baking soda anymore. I don't know. We don't know what things were an odor of a sweet smell and a sacrifice. It certainly wasn't a diamond Rolex and a three-piece white suit and tickets to the Super Bowl, front seats at the Colosseum in Rome. Nope. Whatever it was, there were some people who were like this, who remembered a dear brother who was like this. And they wisely and beautifully gave to that man in need. So, whenever and wherever you are, or you think you are tonight, this or this, the message of Scripture is still the same. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Which brings me to a seventh truth tonight. You say, "Pastor, you always have 3 points in every message. You have already seven tonight." I know. Hashtag 2020, right? Amen. It's new year, new me. Point number seven. To most of the world, this looks to them like this looks to us. Let me say that again. To most of the world, when they have this, what they see is this. Now, you do realize that tonight. You do realize that your old beater of a car for billions of people in this world would be like a Lambo to them. They don't even dream. They don't even imagine ever owning any car. I was looking at images this week of the aftermath of Typhoon Ulysses back in November and also Typhoon Goni 10 days before that, back-to-back devastating storms in the Philippines. And you know what? As always, the devastation is hardest in the poorest areas. And I was looking at these things and welling up with tears because these images were showing hundreds and hundreds of people sitting on rooftops in the blazing sun, no shirts, no shoes. Below them, dirty water was washing away probably every little tiny thing they owned. So that for a lot of them, it also means no shelter for who knows how long. Still to this day, I know for sure. No electricity for so many. Meanwhile, here in America, Bernie Sanders wants Americans to be so discontent that $15 an hour is to him full-blown poverty. Now, I'll be honest with you. With my current life, the way I live right now, $31,000 a year, that's $15 an hour, it would definitely feel to me like this. It would feel that way. There's no doubt about it. But for the vast majority of people in the world, $31,200 a year is 20 of these, maybe 50 of these. And can I just say that that's why it is so wicked when our leaders try to paint our nation as poor or racist or as one Antifa malcontent said, the most unjust nation on the earth. You know, that is such a slander and such a lie. I wish the punishment was living a full decade in Somalia or Haiti or Afghanistan or Mali. You know, the hourly income in Mali is 93 cents an hour. The life expectancy right now at birth is 58 years. We have 20 more years in America than they do. It has almost zero electricity, almost zero infrastructure, and for 20 million people, there's no such thing as toothpaste or even a toothbrush. One of the major causes of death in that country, violence. But hey, let's tear down some statues here in America because some people drive nicer cars than other people do. It's absurd. And it is absurd how Christians have allowed this mentality to cause them to forget how good God is all the time. I don't know if you saw this, but AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, on her website, you can support her cause by buying some of her merch. And some of that merch includes a sweatshirt that says, "Tax the Rich." The problem is, that sweatshirt costs $60. So what? Go buy a sweatshirt that says, "Tax the Rich," so everybody can know that you're loaded. It's absurd. All we're saying is that there is a lesson here about perspective. What we see as this is oftentimes really this. It really is. Oftentimes what our society considers needy and poverty and poor and destitute is not that at all. And the reason Satan wants us to lose this biblical perspective is so our lives don't do this. Verse 20. He says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, folks, God doesn't allow fullness. He doesn't allow blessing and abundance so that you'll go around feeling guilty all the time, nor go around gloating. And God does not allow need so that you'll feel envy, or so that you'll go around and moan all the time. Paul's not guilty of any of that stuff. No, in either and both cases, God wants us to do both. If he allows this or this, so that we can do all things through Christ. All of it. In all places, at all times, so that he receives the glory. Unto God the Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to pray in a moment, but I want to ask you to do one thing for me. I want you to just do a little evaluation. Think in your mind, is your life right now this, or is it this? And whichever you think it is right now, have you learned in whatsoever state you're in to be content? Because if you haven't, God is not getting glory from your testimony. And he deserves the glory. Father, bless now the invitation. Thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, that these are not mere words of men. But this is powerful, eternal, life-changing truth that we too can learn. If Paul can write from prison that he's full and he's abounding, then we can surely have the same perspective by your grace and your mercy. And I pray, Father, those who are full and abounding in this room and listening where they are will not forget those in their sphere of influence that are not and have need. Help us be faithful to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.